So, how do we start the investigation of the body? Well, first we think about our life. We think about birth. We can go back in our memory to remember all these things and see the dukkha of our life. We don't want to see it, that's why we don't go back. Go back to the time when you were born. You can start from this year, and then go year by year, go back and see and ask yourself what happened, and see the dukkha that you have in your life. And then go back, to the time where you went to school. See how much fun that was. And then go back to the time where you learned to talk and see how much fun that was. Or go through puberty again. Yeah? Wow, that was so exciting. If we would go now in our age through puberty again, every one of us would get a heart attack. Yeah? And then go back, go back to the time where you learned to talk, go back to the time where you learned to walk, and then go back, the time where you were just lying flat on your back, or on your stomach. Moving, trying to move this body around, trying to move the arms, trying to move the fingers and the toes and the feet, and so on. Until you see the time when you came out of the womb, bloody all over. And if you can remember, maybe you go back, and go back to your previous life, That is one, And then you can start, going from this year on, until the day you die. Think about it, You have parents who grow old, and you have you have people, friends who died, and you see people who were dead. So that is going to happen. This is one, that is the outside reflection of the body. The next important thing is for the reflection of the body is to understand that we are not the body. And for this, we have to disassemble the body into its bits and pieces or into its part, put them in front of us, and then see, these are body parts. Which body part, is now the body? Which part is it? The fingers, the head, the brain, the tongue, the nose, the ears? What part of the body is the body? Only if you reassemble it, then it becomes a body. But before that, it's just one body part. It is either the feet, or the or the limbs, or whatever, or the inner organs, or the brain, or the heart, or the lungs, whatever. It's only parts. So assemble them, disassemble them, until the citta realize that it is not the body, that there are just body parts lying in front of it. But each time you have to do it seriously. So you have to cut off, one part of the body and put it in front of you. Then you cut off the next part of the body and put it in front of you. And when you put it in front of you, it's not there on the cushion, on your seat, on your meditation seat. It's not there, it's not together with the body anymore. And you do that until the last part of the body is in front of you. And then what sits there? And then you start to reassemble it. And sooner or later you will realize there is something different. When you do it realistically, when all the body parts in front of you, there is something missing. And then you start, putting back the body parts, and then something reappears. And this missing, this reappearance, is the understanding that slowly takes place that the body is not the the body and the citta who does that work of separating out or disassembling the body into its parts, bits and pieces, the citta and the body parts are not one and the same thing. And you have to do that, I don't know how often you have to do it. But if you do it realistically, this gives, you know, that leads to the understanding that the body is not the citta, yeah? Or that the body is not self. It's just a vehicle, yeah? It's just a car, yeah, that we use, yeah, to drive around or to walk around and to do this and to do that. And together with the body, you know, comes the senses of the body, the senses of seeing, you know, smelling, touching, thinking, feeling, tasting. We come with the body. I mean, that's what we're mostly after. But then we can also reflect about the senses. How many nice senses do we have during the day? Maybe when it is hot, you know, and we take a shower and cool down, then we think, ah, that's nice. Yeah? When we're hungry, we eat. And then we think, ah, that is nice. But when we overeat, then we think, ah, that's not so nice. We are tired, yeah? When we are tired and we sleep and we wake up, ah, that's nice. So the body gives us only dukkha. It doesn't give us joy. It gives us the relief of dukkha that we interpret as joy. And that is something that we also have to understand. When we are hungry, it is an unpleasant feeling. When we eat, you know, it becomes a pleasant feeling. Until we are full, then we don't want to eat. So we relieve ourselves of the unpleasant feeling. The same when we go to the toilet, yeah? When we need to go to the toilet, I mean, that is extremely, can be extremely painful, it can be extremely unpleasant, yeah? And then relieve ourselves and say, ah, yeah, but that's the way, you know, but we never think about it. That is just the body, yeah? The body has some discomfort, you know, for instance, it's overtired, or it's very tired, then it wants to sleep. It's very hungry, then it wants to eat. It's very thirsty, and then it wants to drink. The moment we drink, or we eat, or we sleep, then we feel good. So actually, you know, all what we do in terms of the body is, you know, to relieve it of its dukkha. And then we think, and then we are so stupid to think that is the fun, or that is the pleasure. No, actually, the pleasure of that doesn't exist, the pleasure of the body. It's just the relief. Yeah? In German, we actually have this. We have a saying, yeah, run, yeah, with your head against the wall, because it is so nice when the pain goes away. Huh? You understand that? We commit pain because it is so nice when the pain goes away. When the pain of hunger goes away, it's so nice. Yeah, we feel so pleasantly. And that's with all kinds of pain, or with all kinds of dukkha. So that is an investigation you have to realize. Yeah? But whatever you do, when it is too hot, you take a shower. Oh, it's so nice to have a cold shower. But before it was dukkha. I mean, if it is cold outside, you don't want to take a cold shower. Huh? Because the body is already cool. Then you want to take a hot shower. Because the body feels cold, you know, there's some feeling of coldness and then you want to warm it up. If there's a feeling of heat, then you want to cool it down. I mean, the feeling of heat is unpleasant, the feeling of cold is unpleasant. So if we change from one extreme to the other, huh, then we feel, this is happiness. Huh? That's when you go to the beaches of Thailand where you see all these stupid Farangs, all these stupid Westerners. I mean, they spend their whole vacation heating themselves up in the sun and then cooling themselves off in the water, then going back into the sun and cooling themselves off in the water, and then they tell us, you know, oh, it was such a nice holiday, I had so much fun. I mean, you can do the same thing at home, you know, you have a bucket full of hot coal, yeah? Yeah, so you heat yourself up over the coal and then you have a bucket of ice water and then cool yourself down. This is the same thing. It's from one extreme to the other. Yeah? That's what we think. When it changes from one extreme to the other, and then we feel, you know, ah, this is so pleasant. Yeah? But actually, you know, it's just changing. It's a nature. Yeah? It's changing from one extreme to the other extreme. From being hungry, you know, to the being of full. You know, it's just the opposite. Yeah? From being cold, you know, to being warm. From being hot to being cool. It's just a change. But we don't realize it. We think it is, yeah, this is pleasant. But we don't realize that before this pleasantness, yeah, in question mark pleasantness arises, you know, there's something dukkha arises. Unpleasantness. Unpleasant feeling. So we can reflect about that. So far I mentioned three things. Yeah? We reflect about our life, go back to birth, you know, and go forward to death. Yeah? That is one reflection. Then we disassemble and reassemble the body, yeah, until we see it very clearly, all the body parts in front of us. All the body parts are in front of us and what is sitting there. Yeah? Until it clicks, until the citta understands. But of course, you know, I mean, our mind is very fast and it understands after three times. Yeah, sure, I'm not the body, but I'm still attached to this body. So, the mind has understood it, but the citta has not understood it. And the easiest way is, if you want to know if the citta has understood it, we just ask the citta. And it will tell us no. Yeah. Okay, then do it again. Until it really clicks, you know, and then this is the separation of the citta and the body that we need. It's the third fetter to understand that the citta and the body are two different things. Or then we realize, you know, I mean, well, what kind of pleasantness brings the body? Ask yourself, yeah, I mean, think about all the pleasantness when you go in your memories back through your life. Think about all this pleasantness and then see, yeah, what came before this pleasantness? Huh? What came before this pleasant feeling? Huh? And see, you know, if it's connected with the body or if it is connected with the mental feelings. Mental feelings are different. But even there, yeah, similar principle hold, yeah? Before a nice feeling arises, sometimes it arises by itself, but most of the time when we feel really happy is when it changes from unhappiness to happiness. Yeah? From changing from an unpleasant feeling to a pleasant feeling, that's when we feel really happy. So mental feelings, you know, it's the same thing. It's always this changing, we love this changing nature. But we don't like, you know, when our environment changes. Our environment has to be fixed, nothing. Yeah? The house that we build, you know, cannot decay. The clothes, you know, that we wear, you know, shouldn't wear out. Yeah? The hair, you know, that we have shouldn't get gray. Yeah? The skin that we have shouldn't get old. Yeah? All these things, that's where we don't like change. But we do like changes in terms of feelings, in terms of bodily feelings, and mental feelings. And then, yeah, so there are three kinds of investigation we can do with the body that are not really difficult, and we can do it any time. For assembling and disassembling, of course, we need a lot of sati. So we cannot do that very easily. Only maybe after our samadhi practice, when the mind is focused, then we can really start doing this kind of investigation. And the next type of investigation, the thorough investigation of the nature of the body, where we really not only disassemble the body, you know, where we take out the parts, or where we take an inner tour of the body and see the body parts. Yeah? By seeing the body parts, I mean with the inner eyes, seeing it very clearly. Diving into this, yeah, taking the skin away, then taking the layer of the flesh away, until we see the muscles, until we see the tendons, until we see the vessels, yeah, until we see that mass. I mean, just the skin, taking just the skin away, you know, gives us a shudder. Yeah? A shudder runs down our spine, you know, I mean, cold feeling, yeah. We can take a scalpel, you know, and open up our skin, you know, and start at the head, you know, and see the blood dripping, and then it becomes realistic. Now, if you don't have any feeling, you know, I mean, we take a saw, you know, and saw the hand off, and saw the lower arm off, and the upper arm off, you know, and then yeah, and take the limbs off, and you know, the moment we saw it off, we look at yeah. At the cut, yeah? And see the bone, see the flesh, see the vessels, see it all realistically. And then there's a form of disgust coming up. Before with the other investigation, there will be fatigue coming up, yeah, but not really that disgust. Yeah? Even if you see the body parts outside, disassemble, assemble, there's not so much disgust coming up. But the moment we do the investigation of the nature of the body, then disgust is coming up. Because what is inside the skin is something that we don't like to see. Just like we don't like to see the things that come out of the body. We don't like to see the shit that comes out. We don't like, you know, to drink our our piss, yeah? And so on. Yeah? We don't like the sweat that comes out because it smells really bad. Yeah? Whatever comes out of the body really smells bad. Yeah? And we don't like it. Whatever goes into the body, we think it is nice and beautiful and it is, it smells good. Whatever comes out. So something inside this body must turn everything that is nice and beautiful into something that is smelly, disgusting, and loathsome. So let's investigate this machine that turns everything that is nice and beautiful into something that is loathsome. So find them there. Look at the nature of the body. Open it up. And when we use the Buddha, the word Buddha for samatha before, then we can use, for instance, skin, or nail, or hair of the head. But with each repetition, and that is different for the Buddha, with each repetition, we have the desire to see that part that we repeat. Is that understood? Otherwise, you know, it's just the same as the repetition of Buddha. We can use anything, you know, any kind of repetition, you know. I mean, if you repeat Buddha or Dhamma or Sangha, you know, it leads to calm. If you repeat skin, it leads to calm. But if there with each repetition of the word skin or nail or hair, we have the desire to actually see it with our inner eyes, then it is different. It doesn't lead to the calm. It leads to the inner seeing. And that's what we have to learn, that's what we have to train. And once we can see it, you know, then we can dissect it and look at the nature. And then, when we do it, one day we do this kind of organ, next day we do that kind of organ, and then we compare them. Yeah? We compare the nature of the, for instance, of the skin with the nature of the, what is left, of the fingernails, or of the nails. Yeah? Or the skin and the nature of the hair. Because where is the hair coming from? Yeah? Investigate it. Where is it growing out? It's growing out of the skin. But the nature of the skin, you know, and the nature of the hair seems to be to us very different. So where is it coming from? Yeah? What is it? What is the true nature of the hair? Huh? The hair of the head, the hair of the body, and what is the true nature of the skin? And what is the true nature of the heart, of the lungs, or of the liver, or whatever, yeah? Of the stomach. Huh? How does it differ? And you will see, you know, in the end, they are all made out of the same component. Of water, of fire, of earth, and air. Everything. Everything in this universe. And this is taking the understanding. But the first thing that we encounter is the loathsomeness of the body, because the moment you open up the body, you don't like to see it. So disgust comes up. But why we do the investigation, you know, this disgust might come up, but the anger will come up after our investigation. So we have to be very careful not to be around people and to let out the anger, because then we get really very easily irritated. If our practice works very well, we get very easily irritated with whatever other people are doing. So we should be better, you know, in our kuti, you know, and stay around there and don't do anything. Because the anger comes out, yeah? We can let the anger out at the walls of our kuti, you know, because the irritation comes on pretty strong. Yeah? But we should not let the anger out on other people. Is that understood? Okay. Huh? So today I'm tight. If there are no questions, you know, then we stop. Yeah? Yeah?
John, where is my memory?
What?
Where is my memory? In my citta or in one of candles?
Where is my memory? Is it in my citta?
Yeah, I mean, it is in both, yeah? Of course, the memory of the citta is infinite. But the memory that you normally recall, it is up in the brain. You can think about, yeah, the memory of a person who uses a computer, only bits and pieces are in the computer and the rest is in the person who uses the computer. And the brain is the same thing. But for the brain is very fast accessible. The memory in the brain, you know, in our brain is very fast and it is very accessible. The memory of our citta is very deep down. Yeah? And most of us, you know, don't even realize, you know, that there is the memory. What are you doing when you're born? Think about it. You learn everything, you know. You try to put the memory, whatever you see, you know, you put the memory into the brain. So, I mean, the memory of this life, of course, will be in the brain, yeah? But it will be also in the citta. The citta never forgets anything. But to get access to this citta, it is so difficult. Yeah? We need to be extremely quiet. Yeah? There should not be any thoughts, no memories coming up. And then, yeah? Then we can see, you know, sometimes, you know, we can see past lives or moments of past lives. Yeah? But it is, of course, not in the memory of this body, because, I mean, the memory of this body starts with our birth, yeah? And it will die with our death, yeah? But whatever we do, whatever we do in this life, then this memory of every kind of thought that you have, of every kind of deed that you did, will be stored in the citta. That's why people, you know, who have a near-death experience, you know, I mean, really, can recall everything. Yeah? It's very easy for them. Within a minute, you know, it is just like within a blink of an eye, you know. I mean, they see their whole life, you know, going down. Whatever they did good, whatever they did bad, yeah. And that is the problem in the moment we die, you know. And when we see all the bad things that we did, you know, it leads us to hell, yeah. And when we see, and some people see all the good things that they did, you know, it might lead them to heaven, yeah. So that's why we have to be really careful, you know, at the moment we die, yeah, not to indulge into our faults and mistakes that we did in this life, because it will lead us down. If we have the choice, you know, if we are good practitioners, and then we have the choice, you know, we can even come back as a human being, you know, to continue our practice, or we can rest in heaven for a while before we go to hell. Or we can choose to go to hell before we go to heaven. Yeah? I mean, whatever. Yeah? Okay?
Okay, thank you.
So, any other question?
This memory of the chitta, is it similar? Is it the same or different from the sanya?
Yes. Yeah. Sanya is this. Sanya is the memory of this more or less this life, you know. But of course, you know, but once you go down into the chitta, you know, the memory of previous life, you know, will be stored in the memory. So I mean, it just can get mixed, yeah. Or if you try, you know, like I said, you know, if you try to go, you know, to your birth and then try even to go further, you know, back, you know, then this will become part of the memory, yeah, of your brain. Yeah. For fast access, you know, just like in a computer, we store it in the RAM, yeah, random access memory, yeah, so we can get it fast, yeah. For slow, you know, I mean, we have a very old hard disk, you know, it's very slow, yeah. But, you know, I mean, nothing is, yeah, like on a magnetic disk, you know, everything is stored there forever. And that can be bad in some cases. But it can be also good in some cases. And we need the memory. We need to use the memory for investigation. We need to memorize our investigation. Yeah. We need to memorize. You know, when we dissect the body, you know, this should be a memory. Yeah. Or when we see something, yeah. In order to be able to compare, you know, the nature of, for instance, the heart with the nature of the lungs or with the nature of the stomach. I mean, we need the memory. Yeah. So we need sanya sankara, we need thoughts, yeah? Thoughts that provoke the memory, yeah? Asking the questions, yeah? And then the chitta, hopefully the chitta will show us. If not, you know, then we have to train it to show us. That's why we use these words like skin or like nails or hair, you know, I mean to invoke the chitta to give us the picture. So we don't see, yeah. I mean, we are blind, you know, we so much rely on our outside eyes that we forget that we have inner eyes. But when you die, there is still sanya, so. That is a kind of different memory, yeah. So, any more questions?
Another question. When we like investigate the body and take some parts off or cut it up, sometimes we get a bit aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
Shall we try like to hold that away and do it
no.
more neutral, or can we really slay it?
I mean, look at this aggressiveness, yeah, and then see where it is coming from. Hmm? And learn how to deal with it without letting it out on other people. Yeah? That is the most difficult thing. It is like, that's why we do first, you know, investigation of pain. Yeah? Investigating something that is really unpleasant. I mean, anger, irritation is very unpleasant. It's much more unpleasant now. Hmm? Because we have the feeling or we have the urge to let it out. And throw it onto somebody, you know, who has nothing to do with it. So we learn how to deal with it, keep it inside, yeah, and then see what makes it, yeah. Then look at the thoughts or look at the memories, you know, bring up these memories that brought up this irritation or that brought up this anger, yeah. And it is looking at the true nature of our body that brings up this anger. Or brings up disgust, and because of the disgust, you know, irritation comes or anger comes. Yeah? Understood? Okay.